Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. As always, if it helps you to follow this morning from the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went, and he went out again about noon, at about 3 o'clock, and he did the same thing. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this time to be together. We give you thanks for the scripture. We give you thanks for the way that you teach us and meet us in them. Now we ask, Holy Spirit, that as you always do, that once again you would pour yourself out on us, that again you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of all of our hearts and inspire them, breathe life into them, make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. In whose name we pray. Amen. So, one of the things that happens when we look at Scripture, and I do this whether I'm trying to get ready for a sermon or ready for Bible study, or just looking at the Scripture for my own study, that one of the things that I always do is I ask this text a couple questions. So I always ask, what? What is it saying? And then I try to get to, so what? What does that mean? And then I try to never quit until I get to begin to think about a question, now what? What does the scripture say about how we respond to that, how I'm supposed to live that out? And so we come to the text this morning, and there are four questionable phrases that I want to lift up. Now, I don't mean questionable in the sense of they're pretty sketchy, or maybe we shouldn't believe them. I mean, questionable in the sense of these are particular places where these three questions will help us be enlightened. So I hope that you'll wander through this text with me with these four questions. And so the first questionable statement, I should say, is where it begins, for the kingdom of heaven is, one of the things it tells us is that thankfully this is not politics. Right, we're in that season of American life where you can't turn on the TV, you can't turn on the radio, you can't do anything on the internet, even if you're trying to do Bible study, without running into political ads. Right, we're in that season where we are just sick and tired of politics. So fortunately, this text is not about politics. Right? It's about the kingdom of heaven. It's about what is it that God wants the world to be like, or what was it that God created the world to be like before sin came in and messed it all up. So it's not meant to be our politics. Actually, it's meant to be something far more important. It's meant to be the thing that we measure our politics, our economics, our life choices against. This is the kingdom of heaven, and this is what it's like. And we hold that up and measure everything else against that. The kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus continues, to tell a story about a vineyard owner who goes into the market and hires some people. And the first group of folk he hires are the early birds, right? They're the folks who are there right away, and they're early in the morning. And he says to some of them, the scripture doesn't tell us how many, he says to some of them, you go to work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is the regular daily wage. Literally in the Greek, it's denarii. Right? But the point is, this is what you would reasonably expect to make for a full day's hard work. And so they get hired right off the bat, and they go in to the vineyard, knowing that they will have a whole day of good work to do. So then about 9 o'clock, the landowner goes out and he finds some more people standing in the marketplace looking for jobs. And he says to them, okay, you go and I will pay you what is just, what is right. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word here, the kaios, is a word that means either right or just. It can mean righteous. It gets used in all of those ways equally. The thing that it doesn't get used at very often is fair in the sense of in the sense that we usually think of fair, is that everybody is equal. This right, whatever is right, whatever is righteous, dikaios is grounded in what does God want? In the Old Testament especially, it's grounded in God has given us laws to live by. Does it match up to that? What is it that God wants for us? That's what is just, what is right. And the landlord looks at these guys and says, I will pay you whatever is right. And so if we're looking at what does God want us to do in the world, if we're looking at how does God want us to treat one another, we look for those places that get held up as being whatever is right. We measure our actions against what the scripture says is right. In the New Testament, this word, this sense of what is right, what is righteous, also gets run through the lens of the most righteous act that has ever occurred on the planet Earth, that Jesus Christ died for us and our salvation. And so when we do what's right, we're doing what it is that God wants, the God who loved us so much that in Jesus Christ, he came to die for us. That's what the Bible holds up as whatever is right. And so the landowner looks at the guys that he hires at 9 o'clock in the morning and says, look, I will pay you whatever is right. So the story continues. He goes in at noon, he goes in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then finally at 5 o'clock, he goes and he finds some more guys. He says, what are you doing here? And here's our next questionable statement. They said to him, we're still here because no one has hired us. Because no one has hired us. Now, one of the things that we don't really have time to get into, I mean, this is a whole sermon series, let alone another sermon, is the way that the scripture talks about work and how important that is. Right? That work is something that is essential to our well-being. If you look in chapter 2 of Genesis, when God is creating, he puts Adam in the garden, and Adam has a job. Adam has all the things he needs to live by. He has all the food he needs. He's got all his needs met. All his needs met. Apparently, I can't talk this morning. Let me try that again. Adam has all of his needs met, and he has good work to do. This is an essential part of creation. And so when the landowner goes and finds guys at 5 o'clock at the end of the day and says, how come you're still here? And their answer is, because nobody hired us. The landowner says, let me give you a little work. Let me give you some work to do. And so he sends them off into the vineyard. Now, this is where the story gets really, really weird. At least weird as we're accustomed to thinking about things. Because it comes 6 o'clock, it's the end of the day. And the landowner goes to his manager and he says, okay, I want you to pay everybody and I want you to start with the folks who came last. And so they come and they get a full day's wage. And then the next group comes and they get a full day's wage. And the guys who came at, who had the best opportunity, the guys who got hired at the very beginning, the guys who have had work all day long are going, whoa, look at that. If they're going to get a whole day's wage, can you just imagine what we're going to get? And they get to the manager and they get a whole day's wage. And they start to grumble. Now, wait a minute, is that fair? I mean, those guys only worked an hour and we worked all day long in the heat and did all, you know, we added so much more value to your enterprise here. How come we only get? And the landowner's response is interesting. Said, look, I give you exactly what I promised I would. I give you exactly what I promised I would. I give you exactly what we agreed on. Why are you upset that I choose to give others the same thing? Can I do with my stuff what I want to do? And then he ends with the last of our questionable statements. And so the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, let's look at that for a minute, because this is something that Jesus says a lot. He said it in chapter 19. He said it in other places, that the first will be last and the last will be first. And if we look at it in this parable, what does it mean for the guys who had the best opportunity to be last? Well, it simply means that they got the same thing as the guys who had the least opportunity. So first or last, everybody ended up with a full day's wage. First or last, everybody ended up with what they expected, what they needed to feed their family and keep a roof over their head and all the rest of the things we do with the things that we go to work for. They ended up with the same. So now what? Look, this is not Jesus doing politics. This is not Jesus doing economics. This is Jesus doing theology. This is Jesus telling us about how God works in the world. But it's important for us to look at this and go, how does the world that we live in compare to that? A lot of folk are offended by this parable because we look at our world, and our world is all about, well, you got to compete and you got to be better than the other guy, and there has to be a loser so that there can be a winner. And if you get an opportunity and you work really hard, then you deserve what you get. Which doesn't say anything about the people that didn't get the opportunity. So a lot of people hear this parable and they get really upset. But Jesus is not talking primarily about politics. He's not talking primarily about economics. This is not Republican or Democrat or capitalist or socialist or any other thing versus other thing that you want to throw in there. This is about how does God want the world to work? What are God's goals for the people who live on this planet? And then it's up to us who follow Jesus. It's up to us who want to live in a Christian nation to decide, what do we need to do? What do we need to advocate for? What do we need to work at so that our world looks more like the kingdom of God that we read about in the scripture? This text is not about politics. It's not about economics. It's not about who should be the next president or senator or any of the rest of it. What it's about is this is what God wants the world to be like. And if we want to do what's just, what's righteous, then we need to be looking at how do we make decisions that line up with what Jesus said. Grace to you and peace. Amen. Go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. Grace to you and peace. In the name of Him who is, and was, and is to come. Amen.